Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yo, the mic caught you last game screaming that you're him. What is saying I'm him?
Did I say that? Sometimes you black out there, I guess. I don't know.
Joe Burrow, after that touchdown pass to Hayden Hurst, beautifully designed play, screamed at the sideline, I'm him, and then was asked about it, and he said, I did that? It's funny. Burrow and the Bengals playing the Chiefs, of course, Sunday in the late game. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase.
Did Diggs start that, by the way?
I'm him?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
This is the first time I saw it.
Yes.
But I'm in a bubble here. So.
I don't think he invented. I don't know.
He didn't invent. I'm him?
The general.
Just the phrasing?
The public. Yes. I don't think it was him.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No, he said it was him, but it wasn't him. Get it? No, sorry.
Okay.
Was it him?
Yes.
Yes, it was him. Whoever did it first, Joe, was definitely him.
Right. That's him.
That's the guy that him.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was Stefon Diggs, him.
Not everybody can be him.
No.
Everybody thinks they're him, but not everybody can be him.
A lot of him.
Just like everyone, is this going to be the new goat? Everyone's a goat now. Everyone. Even though the literal definition of it is greatest of all time. There can only be one. Who's, but like 90 people and everything are goats.
Who's the most ridiculous goat you've seen? Somebody tabbed as the goat.
Oh, this is a good question. Because I've definitely seen one that was like, come on.
Brady gets it the most, right?
Gets it all the time.
Most goated goat.
Brady gets it all the time. LeBron gets it a lot.
Yep, okay.
Messi got it a ton at the World Cup.
MJ gets it.
Like, right, the guys that you could actually make a case. Yes, they are the greatest of all time at something. I'll do it jokingly with Max Afinogenoff on like Twitter, but I'm definitely not being serious. I think like Carl Anthony Towns, I've seen it with like recently.
That's
like he's a good player, but come on, no, like GOAT should not just mean oh you're good. GOAT should mean like you are the greatest at something. Him should be more, I guess, for hey you're great.
Yeah,
or is him above GOAT? I think GOAT's got to be above him.
It's a great question.
GOAT, then him.
I don't really have an answer for you on it, though.
We need levels here.
Yeah.
Someone's got to figure out who qualifies as a GOAT,
well,
who doesn't, who qualifies as him. Diggs, him. Not a GOAT, though.
Next time the Bills play the Bengals, it's very important that nobody says anything bad about the Bengals anywhere.
Oh, my God. Every little thing.
Well,
every little thing.
There's proof of that. Zach Taylor this week said, this is during a media availability, which would have been Monday.
Uh-huh.
He said that he scours the internet, every inch of the internet.
Zach Taylor does.
He says that the Bengals, I mean, this is the piece I'm reading here. He admitted he searches every inch of the internet to find ways to motivate his team.
Has he seen tweets from me and you then?
We are complimentary to the Bengals.
Right. I don't think I've disrespected the Bengals. I envy the Bengals. I want to be their receiving core. That's their head coach, though, that is doing that.
He searches every inch of the internet to find ways to motivate his team.
Also crazy that he would just admit to that. They put a sign up in the stadium this week. Did you see this? They put a sign up in their stadium that says, disrespect us. Like, they're begging for it. Which, By the way, we've reached a point in sports where fans would rather be disrespected than be respected.
Oh, for sure.
We just went through a year where the Bills were the favorites all year, and everyone was saying how good they were, and Bills fans are just like, I don't like this.
The Bengals are being disrespected. They are favored to win this game.
Right. They are favored at Arrowhead.
Favored at Arrowhead to win.
Right. Disrespect us.
Are they favored?
They're favored by like 2.5 now, I think.
Yeah, last I saw they were favored. This, you know, everybody's disrespected.
It can be very annoying at times.
It is constant. It is absolutely constant. Everybody is snubbed. Everybody is disrespected. The Seahawks, their players are mad. Pete Carroll wasn't the finalist for Coach of the Year.
Ugh.
Sorry, guys.
What?
Everybody's Coach of the Year.
Well, you know, they're going to have 3 extra wins now next year because they're going to be motivated.
Right.
Week 8, they're going to beat the 49ers in some crazy upsets. Like, you know, guys, some question about, you know, how motivated really were you after Pete Carroll did not get nominated for AP Coach of the Year last season?
Yeah, right.
Just, I mean.
Everybody's so mad.
So manufactured. Zach Taylor is readily admitting to it's manufactured.
Right, to search in the internet to try to motivate his team.
He's looking for the disrespect.
They put a sign up, huh?
Maybe the Bills should do more of that. I don't know.
Well, there's something to be said for, you know, motivating tactics. We had a call a little bit ago, 803-0550. How's everybody feel about Sean McDermott? The caller said, you know, that he'd heard a lot of McDermott should be fired, but then thought about it and said it seems to be a little bit of a vocal minority. How does everybody feel about McDermott?
Should I put a poll up?
Yeah, but what are the options? Fine. Great. I mean,
it could just be, if you had the decision or the power to make the decision, would you fire Sean McDermott?
Yeah, I just think.
How many people are going to say yes to that?
Not many.
I don't think many either.
If you want to put the poll up, just to see what percentage are going to say yes.
Yeah.
What percentage are going to say yes? The thing we brought up to the caller was, for me, the conversation always goes to, well, who is your next coach? In the cases of firing coaches in the past, they have been so bad that anybody else, to me, is a good idea. Doug Marrone is your coach. Things are so bad offensively, anybody else is a good idea. Rex, his defenses were terrible, right? Like, you can't even make a case to keep this coach. The Sabres have had coaches that have been so bad that just get them out of here was an answer. McDermott, that's not even close to true. So there's two levels of whenever you want to make a coaching change. There's, this is so bad, I need to make a change. And then there's, well, have I reached a ceiling? And who could get me over that? The Bills aren't going to go out and hire D'Amico Ryans from the 49ers, who might be a very good defensive coach and might be a great it's not the kind of move you make when you already have an established defensive coach to say, we're going to do this instead. To me, the names, it's a short list. Sean Payton is on the short list of names.
He's the only one, right?
Right. If you wanted to say to me, I want him gone and I want Sean Payton, I could push back, of course, but it's, all right, well, you want a Super Bowl winning head coach that ran a great offense with a Hall of Fame quarterback for a long time? I think that is reasonable to say. If you want to do it to hire Shane Steichel of the Eagles, that's a little less so. How about this name? Frank Reich.
Uh-huh.
Is that reasonable? He has been a head coach. He has been a modestly successful head coach with bad quarterbacks.
Yeah.
A rotating quarterback position. He got fired by a crazy owner. Maybe he goes and gets the Chargers offensive coordinator job. Like, to me, if you wanted to make that point, okay, like, there are points to make. Just, he's got to go. What's your backup plan? Well, I don't really have one. To me, it doesn't sound like you've thought it out.
To me, that's change. I just want change for the sake of change.
Right.
And I want to see something. I want to see a shakeup. And I don't care what the answer is. When Reich even, like, that, even that one, I would say, is more, you're doing it emotionally. And also, like, the name would tie into that as well, that I want, you know, Frank Reich.
A former Bill.
But
I think his resume might be good enough if he weren't a former Bill.
It's good enough, but you can't really make the argument that he's different from McDermott in that you know that he can take you all the way.
I would know.
Like Peyton, you can say that because he's done it.
With Reich, I guess you're making the case, again, not that I'm really making it, but Reich has won a Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator.
Right.
And he's a good offensive coach.
Yep.
Really,
it's more offense versus defense.
Here's the other part of it. For every person in that poll that votes yes, you would make the change, would 100% of them want an offensive coach? Isn't that answer
probably
yes?
It should be. Yeah, for sure. Yes,
You're not firing him, McDermott, to bring in.
You mentioned D'Amico Ryans, right? Yeah. But like Frazier, they're not promoting 0% of that. Whatever it is going to want Frazier as the head coach, right?
Right. If you're doing it, you're doing it because you think you've capped at a defensive coach. That's at least my guess. Like if we're doing Venn diagrams of, you know, percentage of coaches that or people that want this coach fired. We'll get some calls in on this. I'm not about firing McDermott. I am about finding answers on offense. And, you know, Dorsey going into year two, if in fact he is the coordinator for year two, and answers in the draft and free agency, like that is going to be a lot of my focus. And, you know, by the time we get to the draft, we'll see what the Bills say about all that. But I on the McDermott stuff, I do think it is the minority. I don't think it is laughably insane. I might not agree with it. And I would also say I think it's super unlikely. Gordon in Buffalo. Gordon, good morning.
Hey, Jeremy, how's it going?
Good.
Honestly, man, I don't want McDermott fired. In the heat of the moment, I was probably thinking, yeah, I would like McDermott fired. And the offensive coach question, immediately I thought to myself, Sean Payton and Alvin Kamara doesn't sound bad considering Singletary isn't the running back I really want here. And honestly, after I calmed down, I just thought to myself, Dorsey is the problem overall. Because nothing has been an issue with, you know, Dable. Rick Dennison was a thing and that was gone. But Dable has been consistent. Yeah, there was some stuff people questioned here or there, but it was an overall consensus after this year of seeing Dorsey that Dable was what we needed here and it's someone close to what he can do for this offense. It's not McDermott. And if it comes down to another big game situation where we're looking at something like this year, yeah, I may look at McDermott and be like, thank you for everything. 17 years without playoffs was pretty garbage. I'm forever grateful, but you're not going to be the guy that gets us all the way. That's where I'm at.
Right. And I think you're not alone. I don't think it's the majority. On Dorsey, let me read you something here from Ollie Connolly's piece. He writes for, I think he's got a Substack, Read Optional Substack, about Lou Anarumo and what he did to the Bills in that playoff game. And Joe, let me know if this sounds familiar. He writes about Cincinnati's performance against Allen. And this is going to get to Allen. It's going to get to Dorsey. It's going to get to the path forward. The Bengals attacked his tendency to overlook and override pre-snap tells. Allen did not have the discipline to change his stripes in the moment and handle the blitzes without freestyling, and the structure of the offense did very little to change and add answers in pass protection. The Bills want to get five receivers out in the pattern as often as possible, but the Bengals found ways to abuse their light protections while covering properly. Mix all of that together with the Bills' unwillingness and ineptitude when it comes to running the ball, and you get an offense that has no firm ground to stand on in heavy snow conditions, no less. That has been a trademark of this offense. Whenever they lose, the run part has been there for years. That was here with Dable.
Yeah.
But the thing that has started to pick up is picked up against Miami, especially in the playoff game. We talked about it for a week going in Cincinnati. The story about defensive coordinators betting Allen won't take the simple stuff.
Yeah.
We don't have to cover it. We can blitz and we can send and we can...
We can leave Singletary in the flat wide open because he's not going to throw it
there. We can coax Josh Allen into taking deeper shots. He will want to go down the field. And I just feel like it's the offensive coordinator's job to have the scheme, to have the answers, to make it so, Josh, they're trying to bait you. You've got to do this. You've got to be here. That's what the coaching is. We said it with Miami, and Allen torched them for like 350 and three touchdowns, but also some interceptions and some mistakes. Good defenses, Allen might be able to be just fine against that. Bigger games, higher stakes. Are we going to get to a Super Bowl? And listen, we'd be very happy to be in the Super Bowl, and Allen would give him the chance. It's not really all about Allen here. It's about a coach. It's about harnessing him. But two playoff games in a row, defensive coordinators decided, let's see if we can talk him into throwing deep on us.
Yeah, and meanwhile, on the other side, like I'm looking at Joe Burrow's passing chart from that game. He attempted three passes over 20 yards all day out of 36 attempts. He attempted three. He only completed one. He had one completion of 20-plus yards. Everything else, I mean, there's some in the intermediate, but left flat, right flat, these slant patterns over the middle, like And we've talked about that, right? That it was, what, 2.5 seconds?
Yeah.
Burrow was getting rid of the football. The other side, like, that quarterback was taking everything that was given to him, like, immediately, and was not waiting around. He was getting protection for, let me see what help opens up down the field. It was, oh, I'm getting 7 yards here. I'm taking the 7 yards. Is that always the coordinator, though?
No.
That's just the nature of what I think who this quarterback is. Dable maybe was better than Dorsey at getting him to take it. Right? Doesn't it feel like that's the case?
Yes, it does. It does. Although early in the year, he was throwing to Singletary a lot.
Yeah, a ton.
Like, look at Singletary's catches over the year. Halfway through the season, he had a ton. And then, of course, you know, Cook and Hines started to take some of his workload.
Were they trying to force him into it by just getting running backs? Like, almost purposely tanking the receiving core for that? Hey, we're going to make you take these short ones because we're going to make sure no one other than Diggs is going to be open down the field.
Larry and Clarence. Go ahead, Larry.
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
Good.
I don't know if I necessarily want McDermott or any of the coaching staff fired, but at the same point, I'm not sure if I trust them to build an offense. I mean, if you look at the last drafts, it's been defensive line, cornerback, defensive line. How many first and second round picks do we have on the defensive line? And then on top of that, we go out and get Von Miller in the offseason, which, again, big acquisition, but did we need him? Could we have gotten another number one wide receiver to pair with Diggs instead and spend that money there? It's just, I think too many times over the last couple playoff games, going into last year's Kansas City game, it's, well, offenses are comparable, but the Bills have the better defense. We should win that game. And Kansas City came out and torched the defense, even in this game. Well, offenses are comparable. Buffalo's got the better defense in Cincinnati, a top five, whatever defense. In the playoffs, it doesn't seem to matter. Again, we get torched. Part of me is kind of expecting being a McDermott to go out and draft another defensive lineman or another cornerback when this offense clearly needs help and has been neglected. The only time they make a splash move last offseason, well, we're bringing in Matt Breda. He's going to open up the halfback screens this year. Well, we drafted James Cook in the second round. He's going to – and we don't use the players half the time when we bring them in. It's just, I don't know. I think this off season in particular is going to be huge for the fact with McDean and Dermott. If they decide to stay here or not, or if they should stay here or not. I think that offense needs major overhaul, and I'm not sure if I trust them to get us over that hump.
Thanks, Larry. I think you're not alone in saying, don't we all expect a defensive lineman? No. But we will all be worried about it until the pick is in.
I'm not ruling it out. The team that I tease that I would compare the Bills to right now is a worry. What would me and you sound like in Green Bay in the last 5 years?
What are you doing? Why don't you get a weapon for Aaron Rodgers?
And it's every year.
Every year.
Green Bay, I just look back. They, for the last time, Davante Adams almost every year has led the team in targets. This year it was Alan Lazard. So they've had a receiver every year lead the team in targets. They have not had a wide receiver finish second on their team in targets in 6 years. Hmm. Aaron Jones, 4 years in a row, has been their number two target getter. Jimmy Graham before that. An old Jimmy Graham, by the way, at that. And in that time, every year, aren't they always tied to, oh, they're going to get Beckham? Or, oh, they're gonna make the big splash move in free agency. They're going to be the team that trades for this top receiver. They're going to draft a guy in the first round. And in that time, they've spent a lot of draft picks. They have not spent a first-round pick.
No, they finally spent a second on Christian Watson.
And he's the best one they've had.
Yes, he is.
But in that time, right, they spent the second on Watson and otherwise a third, a fourth, two fifths, a sixth, and two sevenths. And I guarantee you in that 6 years in Green Bay, all the time talking about that position is, oh, maybe this fifth-round pick will show up and be the guy.
That's right.
And they've never done the first.
And, of course, the point about Christian Watson is they did it after they got rid of Davante Adams.
Right.
You know what would have
right.
been a great idea?
Do that when you had him.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Adams and Christian Watson.
I would have been yelling, okay, now you do it. Like, I just, it's one team, and it's
yeah.
it's not many teams that do that, but I hope and pray the Bills do not operate like the Packers do, thinking every year we all talk about receiver, and they're meanwhile sitting behind the scenes going, we could figure it out. We could spend a fourth and a fifth behind Diggs, and we'll be fine.
Open segment, more calls, 803-0550. If you're with us, stick with us. We'll get right to your calls on the other side. We'll talk about some of those drafts and some of the things that they have done and some of the, you know, the draft mantras, right? Don't pick for need, pick best player. A lot of stuff that we'll revisit, of course, over the course of months and months and months. So we'll get to some of that and your calls first up on the other side here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ken did a lot of good things. Our offensive numbers are good. Like any time you go through something the first year, I'm sure he felt at times like he was drinking out of a fire hose. You're dealing with different things, but Ken is a hard worker. He's smart. And you got a guy who played the position at a very high level, you know, won national championships on a major college team. And that's an asset, too, knowing what, in this case, Josh is going through. And so Ken will be very self-critical. We'll all put our heads together.
Bill GM, Brandon Bean, Jeremy White, Jody Biasi, talking a little bit about the coaching staff. Had someone calling about firing Sean McDermott you know, what percentage of the fan base actually thinks that's a good idea. Maybe the conversation really is, we're going to talk about it next year. You know, if they don't make a Super Bowl, or, I mean, even get back to the AFC Championship game. It really probably should be something like that, like AFC Championship game or bust. Should we readjust our bust? It can't be Super Bowl or bust. They haven't made the AFC Championship game in 2 years, and that's...
Are we going to feel good if they make the AFC Championship next year and lose to Kansas City? Or the Bengals?
No.
What if it's... Is it because it's those opponents?
Yes, it's
if
it's somebody new, it's maybe worse. I don't know if it's worse.
Is it worse if they lose to the Jaguars in the AFC Championship next year?
Any...
Because it'll feel like, oh, we got through it. No Chiefs, no Bengals.
Any situation where the Jaguars in the Super Bowl feels worse, yes, if you're asking.
Okay. What if I make it the...
Chargers?
I was about to say the Dolphins, that would not be... That would not feel good.
Is it Tom Brady that beats the Bills in that game? Because that would be the worst.
Sure, Brady does.
Yes.
With the Raiders.
I've got, at NFL.com, the 7 Brady landing spots ranked by... Who did this? Sorry. This is... Mark Sessler, ranking 7 landing spots for Brady. We'll get to those in a minute. I want to get some calls in here. Eddie in Lancaster. Eddie, you're up. Eddie's got stuff going on. Eddie, we'll come back to you. All right. Mike in Arizona. Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, we had our head coach after that Kansas City debacle. We had Drabel. I wouldn't let him out the building, to be honest with you. Would have been a popular decision? Probably not. I got nothing against McDermott, but we needed that continuity in offense, and Drabel had it. And then he could develop his own staff and go forward from there. And I wouldn't let him out the building, to be honest with you. No.
One thing Brian Daboll did when he went to New York, by the way, he brought in offensive staff and defensive staff. There's a big story about this, that he didn't only hire people he knew.
No,
and it worked with
his offensive coordinator. Given he did, it's not like they tried to get Ken Dorsey to go to New York. They hired Mike Kafka, who was the Chiefs quarterback coach, as his OC.
Mm-hmm. And then they hired Wink Martindale as his defensive coordinator.
Yeah, from Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So neither of his coordinators are from Buffalo. How often does that happen?
Yeah, usually you take at least one.
Yeah. He kind of made his coaching staff and his own. So some of that could have been might be hard to pluck. Assistant coaches from the Bills. I mean, they got the Bills O-line coach, right? Bobby Johnson went over. But otherwise, yeah. I almost hate talking about the Daboll idea and like revisionist history on it, because I would want Brian Daboll as my head coach. But I just don't know. Like, if it was fantasy football, it'd be easy to do. I don't know how you pull that off in real life. How you pull off firing a coach with that resume for and doing it for a guy that's on your staff, and just they're not being I don't know how you do that easily.
It's almost never done.
It's never done.
And another example of when it should have been done, could have been done, maybe I don't want to imply it should have been done here, although it would have been reasonable. It would have been easy to defend that idea. But they didn't, and I never thought they were going to. Atlanta, they let Kyle Shanahan walk for Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
Like,
tough.
Mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake there.
Has anyone ever done it where they fired their coach to keep their coordinator as the head coach? I don't know that that's ever happened.
Maybe in the college ranks? The Patriots even, right?
Yeah.
Josh McDaniel stayed on a couple times because it was supposed to be he was going to take over for Bill, and it never happened.
Right.
Like, I can't think of a time where that has happened, because your head coach is this successful. You just, you know,
and it's his staff, right? Like,
yeah.
Are you building a whole new staff? Like, it just, I don't know.
Right. Sometimes you get fired and someone else on your staff becomes the interim coach and takes over, and that's just you're gone. And, I mean, Don Granato was an assistant under Ralph Kruger and got the job on an interim basis and kept it. But the idea of you're doing well. This happens in hockey is where this happens.
It does happen in hockey.
In hockey, you're not happy. I mean, the Penguins, when they had Dan Bylsma, he was the AHL coach.
Yep.
And they fired Michel Therrien before the playoffs.
Yep.
Brought in Bylsma, they win the cup. And it's just different. It's very different. But that's the sport where it does happen. The guy on top, you're out of here. Someone else in the organization is going to be the new head coach, new voice, new message.
Yeah. I'm trying to rack my brain. I feel like it has happened recently. But like Kubiak maybe? Did like the Broncos fire Kubiak because they were about to lose somebody? I'll figure it out. I feel like it's happened once.
But did they do it when they were good?
Yeah, that's a good question too.
It never happens where they're good. When we talk about good coaches getting dismissed, it's always we mentioned Andy Reid, 14 years, had one bad year. Okay, now's our chance.
Yeah.
Tony Dungy fired so they could trade for John Gruden.
Right.
It is not something that happens with regularity in the NFL. And somebody will probably call or tweet us one example, but it's tough to think of them. Pat in Buffalo, what's up, Pat?
Hey, what's up, my man? I just want to touch base, you know, with the Bills, you know, with the defense. Everyone's saying, you know, Josh Allen needs another weapon, Josh, which I think he does, which I really do think he does. But let Jordan Poyer walk. I think he tried to trade Micah Hyde. We lost to Kansas City twice. They got destroyed by the Bengals. You got to start doing something around that defense. Maybe trade Avius White. I don't think you fire Ken Dorsey. It's his first year. Josh Allen had crazy numbers with him, just like he did with the Bull. His interceptions went up by what? He threw two or three more interceptions this year than he did last year?
One thing he did, Pat, on the turnovers. Josh Allen had 27 turnovers,
yeah,
which was the most by any player in three seasons.
Since Winston, right? Winston's 30-pick season?
Picks. Yeah, with Allen, fumbles are a part of that, too. The interceptions were not up tremendously.
No, the fumbles were up.
Fumbles were way up.
And is that randomness?
Is that pass protection?
Is that... Does someone want to tell me that it's something to do with Dable no longer being here?
It might be a more well-scripted offense protects the ball. Yeah. I would do that. But...
Also, why are we trading the entire secondary away? I mean, Poyer's going to walk probably because they can't pay him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. Like, maybe in a year we'll talk about Tre'Davious White's future. He's 28 years old and not back to form yet, but just coming back from a torn ACL. Hyde is going into the final year of his deal. I mean, this secondary could be completely different in 2 years' time, but I don't think White and Hyde are they're going to be on this team next year, and I don't really know what the argument is for them to not be.
We have one answer on a fired coach to keep a coordinator.
Okay.
Wade Phillips was fired to keep Jason Garrett. Right? And Wade,
that's right.
I think Wade what was his record with the Cowboys?
He made the playoffs, didn't he?
Yeah.
He made the playoffs because I think, is he not their coach when Romo fumbles the snap against Seattle as the holder and tries to run it in?
I think that was...
yeah, he is. I'm looking.
Parcells.
2007. That was Wade.
But here's the thing about Wade. In his last season, when he got fired, they were 1-7.
He got fired midseason.
He was... Right.
Yeah.
The year before,
that's not the same.
They go 11-5, and then they go 1-7, and you fire your head coach.
Right. So that's not it.
Right.
This ain't it. We're talking off season. You're good.
You're good.
You've got a great coordinator that someone else is about to poach. You don't want that to happen, so you get rid of your head coach to keep that guy.
And your coach has a resume, and this is true in the Dungy example. Your coach has a resume where it's like, oh, we would like to hire that person. They're very good. If he doesn't want to take a year off. This is not you know, firing Kingsbury to keep the coordinator underneath him. They're bad. When you're good, it just doesn't happen. 803-0550. Eddie, we'll give you another try here. Eddie, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. Sorry about that.
Sure.
Right? Yeah, no, I mean, these are all really intriguing questions. And as a Buffalo fan for, you know, my life, we've seen good coaches. And I love McDermott. I think he's a good coach. He needs to get a very strong offensive coordinator. Otherwise, we need a coach. There is a benefit when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Burrow, all right, to tie the head coach to the quarterback, because then you don't have that constant like, oh, now Daboll's gone. Now who's next? Well, he learned under him and whatever, all of these other things. And I remember talking on the radio throughout the year that, you know, one of the concerns Jeremy brought up right in the beginning of the year was, hey, do we really know what we're going to get? We don't know what challenges we're going to face throughout the year with our new OC. And as the book came out, it became more repetitive. I mean, we had to the point where we had players on the other teams literally telling public, media that we can tell what they're doing. I mean, how much more signs do you need posted on the wall that whether defensively or even offensively, we're very predictable and they can scheme us very easily? I mean, I saw it from Belichick's ridiculous who they fired. Their offensive coordinators were able to scheme against us. It just seems obvious to me, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just a crazy fan. Thanks, guys.
No, thanks, Eddie.
Yeah, it was Patrick Peterson, middle of the season. I think he was talking about Gabe Davis. Like, yep. We know the routes he's going to run.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, though, personnel-based?
Sure.
Partially. Would Dorsey be able to do more things if he had wide receivers that could run full route trees? Because right now, Diggs is the only receiver on the roster that can run every route and do it well. Is that not right? Like, Dable had at least, like, Emmanuel Sanders ran a full route tree. I'm not saying he was great.
No, he's very good, though. He had a great career and won a Super Bowl. And
his specialty was route running and being able to run a full route tree. Like, even though John Brown, you know, similarly, when Dable first got here, Dable had multiple options of receivers that could do a bunch of different things.
So, I guess this is a question. John Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, this year they don't have that guy. Are they more likely to draft a receiver early or go back to that pool of, hey, let's just get a John Brown. Let's just get an Emmanuel Sanders. Treat it like they've treated guard. One-year deal, guy that can get the job done for us.
Right.
The answer is they'll probably do both. But would you think it's more likely?
I think it's more, now that you put it that way, because I do think it's very likely they do both. Even if it's not a first-round receiver, like maybe a second-round receiver paired with that guy. I feel like they do that with somebody, though. Even if it's, do they make the Jamison Crowder signing again? Just instead of slot this year, they go for a guy that can do more things?
Like, I'm looking at the receivers that are free agents. Who fits the bill for this? Like, not DJ Chark, but...
No, he just did that, really.
Right, right. A guy that's going to just come in and like, oh, yeah, he's had a nice career. He's been decent. Am I looking at...
Like, and now he's right at the end?
Yeah. A veteran who...
I'm looking now. Like, does Sterling Shepard want to do a one-year deal? He's coming off a torn ACL, so that might actually fit.
Juju Smith-Schuster?
He kind of just did that, too,
though. He just did that. He might get paid. And I can see the future, Joe.
Marvin Jones?
I've got a crystal ball here. Marvin Jones.
But, honestly, like that might be where they end up.
But crystal ball. They signed this player to a one-year deal to help their receiver core, and someone writes to me on Twitter, there goes wide receiver number one. And I say, the hell it does.
Right.
Like, this is when they signed John Brown, it was all so much for Beckham. Like, no, that should not be a so much for Beckham thing. Of course, Beckham didn't sign anywhere, but...
Here would be the guys...
They've had multiple years of success getting the hired gun outside receiver the same way that they've treated guard for the last couple years.
Yeah. The guys I'm looking at right now that I would think, oh yeah, one-year deal. Like, they'll be on a team, and these are the guys that would be accepting one-year deals. Marvin Jones. We're talking veterans here, I think. Randall Cobb. Jarvis Landry.
He's not coming here.
Julio Jones.
Bills fans are not prepared to confront the idea of liking Jarvis Landry.
That's right. Sterling Shepard, I think, because he's coming off an injury, kind of a prove-it year for him, rebuild his value. And that's kind of it. Like, you're talking about... There isn't even really an Emmanuel Sanders for that, unless you think Julio Jones has got a left in the tank where he could be that.
Maybe somebody gets cut, right?
Somebody gets cut, sure. Paris Campbell is an idea that I've seen thrown around. He's 25. He was a second-round pick. Dude has not been able to stay healthy, but he's talented. And you know what? He might work for that. He one-year deal. Let me prove my value. Let me go to Buffalo. If I could stay healthy for a year. And that's a guy, not a big name, because he has not had much production in the league. I mean, he had 600 yards last year and 57 catches. But he's a guy that plays outside and inside, is a good yak guy. Again, the talent is there, but that's kind of where you're at. You're either at veteran that's over the hill, or you're at guy like a Paris Campbell where there's a bunch of problems, and there it would be the dude hasn't stayed healthy in 3 years.
803-0550 to be a part of it if you want to join the conversation. It's Jeremy White, Jody Biasi here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sabres head coach Don Granato joining us in a moment. Quick Sabre stat, then a call, then a break for Granato. Mm-hmm. Micah Blake McCurdy does a lot of, you know, fancy numbers, probabilities, all that good stuff on the playoffs. Joe,
yep.
In order for the Sabres to have a more likely than not to make the playoffs, above 50% to make the playoffs, in their last 35 games, they have to get 41 points or more.
In 35 games?
41 points in 35 games gives
that
makes them more likely than not to make it.
That does not seem that hard, doesn't it?
It is not that
Isn't that
hard.
Their current point pace, just about? 41 and 35, I mean, we're talking, if I do some quick math in my head, what is that? That is...
Hold on, let me just do it on my phone.
Yeah, okay.
Let's not hurt ourselves too much.
It's like 18, 13, and 4?
It is a 1.17 point per game pace. Okay?
Okay.
Their point per game pace is 1.12. Right. They have to be a little better than they have been. And all that really means is they have a little bit of ground to make up. But the rate they've been playing at is pretty close to playoff percentages.
19-13-3. That's that record.
19-13-3. That's one of the ways to get there?
That's one of the ways to get there. 19-13-3 or 8 or, you know, there's other ways to do that with that the is, overtime losses.
That's 3 games over 500.
Yeah.
They are currently 3 games over 500. 25-19-3.
I feel a lot better. Not that I didn't feel pretty good already. You said that Money Puck earlier had them, what, 40?
42%.
Yeah, I feel like it's... I would not pick them right now to make the playoffs, I don't think. But
every game matters.
It's going to be close.
Yep.
Like final week of the season, they're going to be alive.
Greg and Buffalo, quickly squeezing in. What's up, Greg?
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call. Hey, real quick, you bring up with McDermott is really interesting. The Peyton scenario is really intriguing. I don't think you make the move now, but next year I think it becomes a serious conversation if we're in the same spot. Our coordinators, we definitely have to do something. Frazier, you look at his playoff history, he's predictable. His defense got picked apart, kept Miami in that game. That game was close because our defense couldn't stop a backup quarterback. Let's think about that. And then with Dorsey, yeah, the stats weren't bad last year. They were equal to this year. They were equal to the previous year. But we didn't grow, and the offense towards the end of the season struggled. So we've got a coordinator that we're learning with. You know, yeah, it's his first year, so he's learning on the job. We have a short window to win, right? I mean, if salary cap, the player's age, Allen's style of play, you have a short window. Do you really want to gamble and with a guy that's learning on the job, or do you want to go get somebody that's proven, like, I don't know, Frank Reich? Just a thought, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. I think you're right about the conversation. It's not taken all that seriously right now. It probably gets more serious next year if that takes place, if they fall short again. And on the playoff window, we'll get to this a little bit later. We're going to get to Don Granato next. The window on Allen's rookie contract is over.
Right. They will not win a Super Bowl on his rookie contract.
That's right. It's over. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. And there's a point to be made about that because Bean did speak about rookie contracts for Burrow. And three of the four guys right now are on rookie deals. Mahomes is not.
Those are ending soon, too, though.
They are. I do think the rookie contract stuff, it's a big talking point for quarterbacks and rookie contracts when. I think it's about to start going away because you have these three guys. What, are they not going to win any Super Bowls?
Right. Is Lawrence going to be winning the Super Bowls?
And then he won't once he's not on his rookie contract. Like,
right.
This is the next, whatever, gang of AFC quarterbacks, and they're going to win a bunch, and they're probably not going to all come on rookie deals. Don Granato next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.